This conference is being recorded.
Hello, can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
I feel like I'm in a dual bad cell phone commercial in the middle of the jungle. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now? We are officially now recording this call, just so you all know. So I welcome your sharings. Just be aware that the call is and if you'd like to share something and not have it be recorded, you might just mention that and I can stop the recording during your sharing. So I'm standing in a screen hut in the middle of the Hawaiian jungle. I don't know if you guys can hear all the birds in the background on the phone. But it's truly quite a miracle that we can be talking across so many miles and continents and oceans and share this magical time together. What I want to begin with, as we always begin these Heart Start calls, is a moment of appreciation and just taking pause to come from all the different time zones we're in, the different activities that we've been in today, to come here right now in this moment, letting your attention come to your breath, letting your attention come here and now, letting your attention begin to focus on something or someone that you're grateful for, something that you appreciate. It could be simple things. It doesn't have to be the fact that you're up for a Nobel Prize. It doesn't have to be something grandiose at all. It could be, in my case, I'm really grateful that for the first time in months I don't have a stomach ache today. I was fighting off some parasites from my last trip to Nicaragua, which we're going to talk a little bit about that trip in today's call. And so it could be something simple like that, appreciating the absence of pain, the freedom from that, or a feeling of comfort. Maybe the air temperature where you are is nice against your skin. You could just appreciate that in this moment. Or your favorite food. And just focus your attention on something that you appreciate right now. We often like to acknowledge and appreciate the technology that we have, that 200 years ago this call wouldn't even have been possible. And just imagine what 200 years from now will be possible, or even 5 years from now. And so that can be a gateway to remove resignation about what's possible. Certainly 200 years ago, if someone had suggested that we might fly to the moon, the full moon at the moment, someone might have suggested that we could fly to the moon or that we could talk to each other from Hawaii to Michigan to Oklahoma to Los Angeles, all at once, their eyes would have spun around in their head and they would have thought you were crazy. And so there's an opportunity for us in appreciating some of the remarkable things in our world and in our life. There's an opportunity for us to remove our resignation about what's possible in our own lives, even today, right now. You could just open to the possibility that something miraculous, something wonderful. A friend of mine defines miracle as not, you know, the Red Sea parting, but as something coming to you in your life that exceeds your expectations. So we could be open to the possibility that that could be occurring right now or today. And just opening in yourself that possibility, what I'd like to invite each one of you to do is from this place of appreciation, focus specifically on a person in your life that you have appreciated, that's been of deep value to you in some way. Someone that you've loved or cared about or that was a mentor or a teacher or an inspiration for you? Someone perhaps that was encouragement for you? And just pause and take a moment and appreciate that person. And what it was that they brought into your life. And as you appreciate that person and what it was that they brought into your life, I want to invite you to become aware of how did this person show up in your life? Did you seek them out? Did they seek you out? How did you find them? How did they find you? How did you meet? Just notice what you notice about that. So often, we forget to look at what's working in life and bring what's working in life to areas that we're having struggle or challenges or obstacles. And yet, so often, if we make appreciation the foundation of everything that we do, then it becomes our teacher. In other words, what's working, what we appreciate, informs areas that need strengthening or need growth or need something. And so now I want you to bring your attention to what people do you need in your life? What resources do you need in your life that you might feel like you don't have right now? I'm a part of a business mastermind, and it touches me, it strikes me how often people in business are missing even more than fiscal resources, even more than money, are missing human resources. I need the right person, I need the right salesperson, or I need the right marketing person, or I need the right CEO or for my company, or all these. It's so often that human resources seem, for many people, the most difficult to come by. It's so hard to find good help is something I hear a lot with my clients that I work with. Whatever that help might be, whether it's a housekeeper or a nanny or a tutor or a teacher for your children, our connection with other human beings, our interaction, our relationships, is really an area that brings us either a palette of rich color and sustenance in life or an area of deficit and blockage. And so because I'd seen so many of my clients bringing this issue, I wanted to address it in this week's Heart Start call. Is that interesting for people on the line? Would this be useful to look at how do we attract the people we need? Everyone in LA is looking for their soulmate. You could even go there. And everyone wants love. So is it useful to focus our attention on the power of the heart to do that tonight?
Yes.
Great. So just become aware. Even you could write it down or make a mental note as you're listening now, whether you're listening in real time or listening to this as a recording. Who is it you need in your life or perceive that you need or even want? What roles are you casting in the movie of your own life right now? And one question to ask yourself is, what do you have to bring to those people? What is it you have to give? And the power of the heart is so generous and so much about the balance of giving and receiving. The heart is an expert at that because it pumps blood to everywhere in the body, and it also knows how to receive the nourishment of the blood it's pumping elsewhere. So the giving and the receiving, so often when we think, well, I need this person, I need that person, but we need from them. But as we look at what attracting people in our lives, human resources, love, the people, then we also want to look at what is it we have to give to those people? What are we bringing? What resource are we? Then we become the source of value. And in my experience working with the heart math tools and the power of the heart, more and more and more as we mature and master the power of the heart, or as my dear friend Darshan likes to say, let the heart master us. Rather than getting from others, we start to become the source of value. So what are we bringing to these people, to this situation? And this is story time. That's my favorite thing about the Heart Start calls. The rest of the week I'm teaching tools and technology and the how-to of what we do. But on Monday nights, I get to share the success stories of how the how-to operates, and I love that. So the story that I plan to share tonight, for those of you who got the email, and if you didn't get the email, by the way, and would like to, there are photographs of the little boy I'm going to tell you a story about. You can send me a request for the Last Sunflower newsletter to ask A like Apple, S like Sam, K like Kangaroo, at Fiera, F like Fabulous and Fun, Y like Yellow, ERA.com. So ask at Fiera, not Sierra with an S, Fiera with an F. Ask at Fiera.com, and I can get that to you. For those of you who did get the email, there's a picture of a little boy in the Last Sunflower newsletter who's reading a dictionary with me, which that dictionary is actually now 20 years old and was the dictionary I took down to Nicaragua the first time I went there, and has the signatures and handprints of street children over the last 20 years. And they never cease to seem to just love to both be imprinted by the words in there and add their names, their words to that. It's a very interesting kind of bird walking, but it touches my heart a lot to see how words bring relationship to life. And so words carry our intentions, and words carry our communication to others. And this little boy, it's such a fun story for me. We were in Nicaragua. I don't know if everyone on the call knows the history, so I'm going to give you a very brief summary. When I was 18 years old, 19 years old, I went down to Nicaragua with that little dictionary you guys see in the picture. I was a little less beat up then. And I went down to Nicaragua, did not know that C was yes and no was no. And so all I had was my little Webster's pocket dictionary and a spirit of courage and brazen audacity, I think, and the willingness to make a total fool of myself. And I attracted, as I needed at that time, lots of Spanish teachers in the form of street children living on the streets, who drew in the sand on the beach pictures and then told me what the words were to match those pictures. And that's how I learned Spanish in the beginning. And so that was the basis of our beginnings of our friendship and relationship. And there was a little boy in particular that I absolutely fell in love with there, whose name was Jorge. And now you think about this. We're talking about attracting the people that you want to bring into your life. So, and I've heard all kinds of excuses from people about why you can't attract the people you need or what the obstacles are. And I think about Jorge. He was 13 years old at that time. And he was the son of a prostitute who had abandoned him at birth. So he had no resources in life whatsoever. He had been raised in the streets by other street children to toddler age and then been pretty much fending for himself by the time I met him for a good 12 or 13 years. And he had a dream, however, to become a doctor. And all these companies that I work with, or even individuals, you know, their relationship has so much to do with our dreams. It's like our dreams always, if you think about when you vision and dream, whether it's a service you want to provide the world or a company you want to found or an activity or a project you want to create or a relationship you want to have, what dream does not include other people? What dream does not include relationships, right? So here's a little boy who's been ostracized his whole life from other human beings, treated as the scum of the earth, the lowest of the low. No relationships, no role models for how to have relationships, and yet he has a dream. And his dream is he wants to be a doctor. He wants to help other people. which to me was so extraordinary and deeply touched my heart, that someone who had never received care wanted to give care. Well, we might say rarely received care. And so, of course, he needed things to manifest that dream. And he certainly needed certain relationships. He needed, for starters, relationships with teachers who would let him into their classrooms at 13, having never studied formally. But what he was doing was selling peanuts on the street. So he needed customers, like a lot of the business people I consult with. He was selling peanuts on the street in order to save money so that he could go to school. And in the meantime, he would go to garbage bins and gather old school books and teach himself to read and write, which he did to a fifth grade level. And that was Jorge when I met him. So somehow he attracted me into his life. And somehow I attracted him. And the truth of the matter is he's made far more impact, I think, in my world than I have on his, as if you could even begin to measure those things. And so I met Jorge in front of the Managua Cathedral selling his peanuts, and I became his customer. I bought peanuts from him. But I became much more than that, because his vision and his passion, he enrolled me in it. It so touched my heart. I committed to myself silently to him, audibly to myself, silently to him, to do whatever I could to help him realize his dream. And so I became a person in his life with many different roles. I was his mother, I was his inspiration, his mentor, I was his patron saint, if you will. We paid his way through school. And as some of you know, we lost touch after 6 years of monthly correspondence and money orders and things like that. And we were reunited then 12 years later, and he came to find me and tell me the impact this little bit of care had had in his life. So where I thought he'd forgotten about me, if you were to ask Jorge, as I asked of you at the beginning of this call, to focus on someone that you appreciate, a mentor, or a person that's come into your life that changed your world or had an impact on you, I would be the person that Jorge thinks of. And he let me know that, and that had a huge impact on my life. So we influence one another in relationship to one another very deeply. We have that possibility. Miracles come out of the love that we exchange and share. And the heart math tools that I've been taught and given the incredible privilege to teach allow the miracle of relationship to really reveal itself. So as I was able to transform my worry and sense of loss and grief about Jorge into appreciating him and the care that we were able to share, the miracle occurred of us being reunited. And through that miracle, we were able to do something even more fun this December, which was, obviously, we developed a whole children's foundation committed to bringing the power of that relationship, attracting people together, children who are in deep need, with sponsors in North America who want to extend their abundance and their care to people who are in need. So now we're matching these miracles up, so to speak. And in December, this little boy in the picture that you see, I'm getting around to that in a very roundabout way. In December, we created another dream come true, which was the filming of a documentary about our story. There was one challenge to this, however, and the challenge wasn't the challenge that a lot of people have when they're looking for human resources. It wasn't that we didn't have money to pay the person. It wasn't that I don't know, any number of difficulties that people face. It was simply, how do you possibly find a little boy to play Jorge when he was young? We had to find someone that, A, looked like Jorge when he was that age, and he was quite unusual looking in that his skin was darker than most Nicaraguans. He had curly hair, and he and just his spirit, his gentle genuine, generous spirit that had been in many ways beaten down, but in many ways shined forth in a smile that was bigger than the rest of his very underfed body. And just that light in his eyes. My mother was on the trip with us, and she just shook her head with total resignation, and she said, Sheva, and to Juan Carlos, who was the co-director of the film we were shooting about our story in Nicaragua, she looked at me and she said, you're never going to find a child that has that light that Jorge has in his eyes. Well, the word never, now that I have heart math tools and the power of the heart, to me always just means how. The word never is always an invitation for miracles to appear as long as we stay in the heart of appreciation and working with these incredible tools that we've been given. So that's a great word for someone to say to me, because it just lights a fire under my butt, and that's what happened. So we're looking to cast a little Jorge. And of course, when you're making a film, we were under budget constraints and time constraints and lighting constraints, because we were in rain constraints, working with the amount of light we had, and before the rains would come, and we needed to find our little Jorge to shoot these particular scenes. So by now, I'm sure that you've figured out that this little boy in the pictures that you see there reading my dictionary with me is actually, that was taken at the moment when we were filming the meeting between Jorge and I. So this little boy played little Jorge. But the question is, how do we find him? Well, we began by driving around the streets of Managua in a big rental van that had all our film equipment in it with Jorge Big. We call him Jorge Grande, the big Jorge, now driving, and the director sitting in the front seat scanning the streets of the markets, looking for a dark-skinned, curly-haired, skinny with a big, giant grin and bright eyes kid. And I was sitting in the back asking them, what are we doing and why are we doing this? And my mom was there scanning the streets. We're all looking. And I just knew, something in me knew it wasn't the right way. We weren't going to find him this way, certainly not from the van. So we spent a good 2 to 3 hours sort of skimming Managua, looking for this little boy. And then finally I said to the director of the film and to Jorge Grande, we're not going to find the kid this way. This is crazy. Stop the van. And I talked everyone in the van through a tool from HeartMath, a tool that's designed to get teams working together, and a tool that is designed to problem solve. And so they indulged me, the heart teacher, in that moment, themselves feeling rather frustrated with our little Jorge search. And so we all went to the heart and through a process called freeze frame, which is one of the tools that we teach through the Heart Mastery Program at Sierra. And out of that got intuitive guidance, each one of us. And very interestingly, the director of the film got very clear right away. He said, what we need to do is split up. And he said, so I'm going to take Nancy, Sheva's mother, to the mall. And I'm thinking, the mall? How are they going to find a little street urchin kid at the mall? Because Managua is such a fascinating place right now. Nicaragua, due to the economic embargo that was there when I lived there many years ago, Nicaragua is a culture that is split in two, where you have people living as they did hundreds of years ago with cows and pigs in the streets and horse-drawn carriages and chickens crossing dirt roads, and then you have like the modern mall with fake marble flooring and Clorox-smelling bathrooms, and where you pay $15 to get fish and chips in the food court. So you can get beans and rice on the street for 5 cents, or you can get fish and chips in the food court. work for $15. So it's a really polarized culture right now between modern wealth and old world poverty. And I couldn't imagine how they were going to find Jorge in the mall wearing his Nike tennis shoes and his Ray-Ban sunglasses. And but, okay, fine. So the director's heart is telling him they need to go to the mall. So he takes my mom to the mall. Or actually, we dropped them there. And that leaves me with Jorge Grande to follow my own heart, which right away guided me to an impoverished barrio just behind the Managua Cathedral, where Jorge and I had originally met. And so Jorge's driving me there, and he takes a detour down by Lake Managua, and I'm like, where are you going? My heart knew right away we weren't going to find him there. It was almost like I had a homing device. That using the HeartMath freeze frame tool, my heart was literally like a radar system that was beeping at me guidance about where to go. And what I had said to the people in the car when we did this tour was, look, this kid exists. And that's what I'm saying to you guys now about whoever or whatever it is you feel you need to attract in your life. The person exists now. That means they have a beating heart right now in real time. And one of the things that science teaches us is that hearts can entrain. They can get in sync with each other. That the songs, Two Hearts That Beat as One, are not just poetic metaphors, but can be proven through science to be actually true. That your heart can line up with the heart of someone else. And that as you get in contact with your value, what it is that you're bringing, and your appreciation for that person, even if you haven't met them yet, that you set up by, everybody's talking about The Secret now, so you set up by the law of attraction, which the movie The Secret talks about, a coherent connection between you and that person that creates attraction and draw. And so that became like this homing device for me with this little kid. And so we entered the barrio, and Jorge Grande, who obviously lived in places like that when he was young, started getting very uneasy because it was not the safest barrio. I stepped out of the van and had my camera on me, and that was it, aside from a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. And we're walking through the barrio, and I start taking pictures, and some teenage boys pull out their switchblades and warn us. I say, you shouldn't do that here. And I turned around and smiled at them, and I was like, and as soon as I did, they put away their switchblades and started laughing and shook my hand. And Jorge Grande started getting afraid as women appeared behind corrugated tin doorways, hissing at us, like just like that, saying, you guys should go, this isn't safe, there's ladrones here, people are going to steal from you, there's robbers here, pointing at the teenage kids. But my heart, the homing device in my heart was so strong, and I felt so at peace there that I didn't feel in the least bit threatened because I was just following the guidance of my heart. And so we walked through this impoverished barrio where there people were lighting fires, living among, it was sort of an old trash, I forget what you call that, like a dump, a garbage dump. See, I can't describe it very well because when I do, I put myself right back there and I'm thinking in Spanish. So now I'm translating to all of you as I talk. I can't think of the English words. So it was an old garbage dump where these people were living, and there were fires burning there where they were burning garbage and where they were also cooking, and children running around naked or in diapers and walking through the filth. And then we came upon this old abandoned church. So fascinating because it was a church where you could barely make out the letters. It was all sealed up. It looked like you were in downtown Manhattan and some place where everything was boarded up and covered with graffiti. But under the graffiti, you could just barely make out the blue walls of the church had the remains of an inscription that said, with Christ there is abundance. And over the with Christ there is abundance, there was graffiti that said, poverty sucks. So it was this incredible, poignant place where underneath this closed, boarded up church that was, you know, falling apart, walls peeling and boards sort of crumbling down, were a group of children from about the ages of 2 years old to about 15 years old. Almost all of them had bare feet and were wearing clothes that, in spite of how thin the children were under them, were too small, which tells you these kids who weren't eating enough were also wearing clothes that they'd worn for many years. They'd grown out of them. And the children were laughing, and they were pointing at me, "Who is that redhead walking through here with a camera?" So they were all approaching me, and they wanted to take pictures, and digital cameras have made hanging out with street kids in Nicaragua so much more fun because they can all instantly see their photographs as soon as you take it. So it takes patience to get the kids to stand still in front of the camera before they swing around because they want to see themselves in the back of it. I'll have to go down next time with a camera that has a, what was that? Not Polaroids, a camera where that you can actually see in the LCD monitor. You can turn it around so they can look at themselves at the same time we're taking the pictures. They just love it. If you could imagine what it's like to have never had your picture taken, to have never had someone care enough to take your photo on your birthday or on a trip, that no one's ever wanted to capture your image. Well, this is some of the value that we bring to talking about you. When you want to attract people into your life, it's the value you bring that's the bridge to bringing those people to you. And so, obviously, these kids were clamoring to have their picture taken. And then it was almost like something else was focusing my camera lens. I had stayed tuned to the radar in my heart. It guided me past the so-called robbers and teenagers with their switchblades into this place in the barrio, and it just stopped me dead in my tracks in front of that church. And then the camera was swinging across this sea of children, and it focused right in on this one kid, and there he was. He had dark, dark skin and curly, curly hair, which is unusual in Nicaragua. And you guys who have your computers, you can look at him. You know, there's pictures of him in that last email. And so as the camera just, it was almost like something else was doing it. I wasn't even doing it. As the camera snapped his photo, I shouted out to him, "Hey, you, what's your name?" Well, you can imagine the tickles to my belly button when he said, "Jorge." And I said, "Oh, really? How old are you?" He shouted back, 12 years old. And, of course, Jorge had been 12 when I met him. And for those of you who are interested, this is just really quite extraordinary. If you email me to ask@fiera.com, I can send you pictures of Jorge Grande and Jorge Pequeño, as we came to call him, little Jorge and big Jorge, together while we were shooting the documentary, because we'd spot them sitting together unconsciously in exactly the same posture. Or as we'd be doing the filming, we had 8 or 9 kids involved and me and the crew, and yet it would always be Jorge Grande and Jorge Pequeño that would be sitting in exactly the same position or getting tired first, and we'd find them laying in a corner, not even knowing the two of them were the ones laying on their beds in the exact same position. It was like they were carbon copies of each other. And my mother just shook her head, and she said, "Sheva, since you got into all this heart mess stuff, nothing surprises me anymore." So she was so sure we wouldn't find a little Jorge, and there he was. And as I approached him, he was clearly helping a lot of the other children. And so I talked with him, I sat with him, I said, "Jorge, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And he said that he wanted to be a diplomat. He wanted to be a diplomat because he wanted to help the children of Nicaragua so they wouldn't go hungry anymore. And at that point, I looked at Jorge Grande, and I said, "That's it. We found our Jorge. Go get Juan Carlos and my mom at the mall." And we had exactly 2 hours of light left. We were able to shoot exactly the scenes that we needed. All just with the power of the heart, appreciation, love, and attraction, the power of attraction through using the heart math tools. And later on, I asked Juan Carlos, I said to him, why in the world did you go to the mall? Why would you think that you were going to find Jorge Pequeño in the mall? And Juan Carlos chuckled and winked at me, and he said, I didn't. He said, my heart told me that your mom and I needed to get out of your way so that you could find him. So there you go. Imagine all these corporate headhunters get paid big fat salaries, right, to find just the right CEO or COO or CFO of companies. Imagine if the people in those companies, the owners of those companies, just had the simple power of the heart to know how to be the value that they want to attract and then attract it in that way. So just a little story to share about how the power of the heart can attract impossible good and human resources that you need. And of course, it's so much more than finding the right person to play a role in our movie. Because Jorge Pequeño, of course, I fell completely in love with him, just as I had fallen in love with Jorge Grande years and years ago. And of course, he enrolled me completely in his vision and dream to become a diplomat. And so he's now one of the children sponsored in our programs. And he and I became very, very good friends, as you can see in the photographs. And so you can imagine that a child living in the middle of the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, without parents, without any resources whatsoever, had the ability and the power to attract what they needed to make their dreams come true. And if a child in that circumstance has the ability to attract filmmakers and sponsors into their lives to make their dreams come true, right? If you think about this, this child, isolated with no resources whatsoever, has now been seen by Oprah in the footage that he's in, right? Imagine that. If he has that power to attract that in his life, then just imagine the power that you have of attraction in your life when you remove your resignation and go back into a state of appreciation. And so what I'd like you to do, just to make this call experiential and fun, is to take a moment in the hopes that my story has removed perhaps some resignation in your own life about the impossibility of attracting the people you need to manifest your visions and your dreams. And connect with the values that you want those people to have, the people you want to bring into your life. What qualities do you want them to embody? Chances are those values are what we would call heart-based values, what I would call heart-based values. And science from HeartMath tells us that heart-based values create a uniquely coherent signature in heart rhythms that then affect everything about our health and our ability to perform. So as you ponder the values and qualities that you want the people you're going to attract into your life to have, it can be useful to make note of those. And then ask yourself the question, how could I start to embody those? One of the things that in the Heart Mastery program that I teach with the HeartMath system or the HeartMath system of tools is specifically how you can embody your values, how we can not just conceptualize our values as a list of things that every company should have, values to follow, or every person should have to prioritize their lives, but actually embody those values. We teach people in a very practical, physiological way how to embody those values. And so you could ask yourself now, even without having the HeartMath system of tools to work with, how could you bring those values into the world? How could you be a source of those values, thereby being an attractive force to bring people to you that also embody those values? And what I want to do right now, while I have many, many, many more stories about this, I want to open up the call for questions or any stories that you want to share. So if you'd like to take a moment to unmute your phones and any questions or any stories this has brought up about the power of attraction in your own life to bring people to you, that you've needed. I really welcome your input now. Is anybody talking? Sometimes I find that people start talking and they forgot to unmute their phone. So make sure that you unmute your phone. Ryan, is that you? I've heard chuckling a couple of times.
No, this is Darshan.
Hey, Darshan.
Hey. When you asked us to select someone, Sheva, I selected you.
Oh.
You know, you've always been inspirational to me. Do you remember how we met or got to know one another?
Well, what I remember is that you wrote a little poem on a tiny piece of paper and handed it to me in the satsang. That's my first memory of it. But is there another one?
Yeah. Well, this was that same night, Sheva.
Uh-huh. With,
you kissed my feet. And, and, you know, I bring this up. But let me say that I knew this heart. This heart is who I am. And for you to do that was so courageous and so brave, you know, operating only on your own sense of me without any substance, to step forth and do that, you know. There's been this inner bowing to your tremendous courage and willingness to follow what your heart says is true here. And what an inspiration, you know. That's so courageous. I can't even repeat what kind of courage that takes in a mixed group in front of people. You know, it's
well,
who you are. You are heart.
No, Darshan, I'm so glad that you're bringing that up, though, because what's important to share about that is that that was trained. How, you know, this is a real issue for people. How do you know who to trust? How do you know, as you're bringing people into your life, how do you know who's real? How do you know who to let into your heart, your inner circle? People have long histories of hurt that causes the heart to close down in a sense of protecting oneself. But that as soon as the heart closes down, you close down the very discernment faculties that would guide you.
Yeah.
Know who to trust. And so it's true, in a spontaneous moment of really appreciating the beauty that you were bringing to our whole group and the incredible love and appreciation that I had for you, I reached over and kissed your feet, right? Why did I feel safe doing that? That's trained in me. It's not something that came naturally to me. And I think that's so important for everyone on the call to hear and understand, because so often now people look at me and go, well, that's just Sheva. She's just like that. I could never be like that. I could never trust my heart to go into a dangerous situation and know that I'm going to fall in love with a kid and even trust that kid. I wouldn't trust myself to even know that. So many people tell me, that's just you, there's something about you, but it's not true. I was one of the most closed-off little girls you could imagine, one of the most frightened. My best friend was murdered when I was 7, and my heart closed down, and I didn't trust anyone. And I didn't want anything to do with the world. I refused even to have love in my life or a relationship in my life. I didn't even consider it until I was like 22 years old, 21 years old. So it was really in connecting with the tools from HeartMath that allowed me a safe structure and a stable context in which to start to check out the guidance and intelligence of my heart as it led me to interact with others and to engage in activities, create projects, that allowed me little by little, just like in any relationship that you develop. You go to tea with someone, then maybe you go out to a movie, then maybe you go out to dinner, then maybe you go out together for a weekend, and you grow little by little this sense of trust and awareness of who that other person is, and that's what HeartMath gave me a context to do with my own heart. It gave me a way to have tea with my heart. I was like, oh, okay, well, I did that, and I didn't get too hurt drinking that cup of tea. That worked. So maybe I'll have a meal with my heart. And little by little, using the structure of the system of heart math tools, I was able to strengthen the trust in my heart. By the time I met you, Darshan, it was as natural to follow the guidance of my heart to kiss your feet in public as it would be to eat lunch when I'm hungry.
Yes.
So, of course, that fluidity of intuition and that ability to attract the people that we need in our lives and to recognize them when we have attracted them has a lot to do with how closely we're relating to our inner guidance system, which is the heart. And so I wanted to use your story to really encourage people who may not be as in touch with that inner GPS, so to speak, that there is a way to get there.
Yes, and, you know, some are, by circumstance, by devastation, awakened to sensitivity to heart, to where that occurs. But to see that occurring was such a rare and beautiful spontaneity that it was stunning to me, Shiva. You know, I've seen thousands of people, but to see someone recognize and move like that just touched me to the deepest core, because I could see what you saw, and, you know, it's the same.
Yes, and you're reminding me, actually, of another context of our meeting. Darshan and I actually met on a silent 10-day retreat. And so there was no speaking. There were no interchange of words in all of this. So we didn't have words to get to know each other. And I do remember being at dinner one night. And this is remarkable because it really shows you the language of the heart transcends the barrier of the language of words when we're evaluating other people, right, and attracting the people that we want or need in our work lives, our personal lives. The heart knows. So it's a much more efficient way to do a hiring process, for example. The heart just knows. And sometimes what it knows is not what you think it knows.
Amen.
I'll share that in a minute. I'm going through an interesting experience with that right now. But that aside, what I remember, Darshan, is we were all at a meal together, and I caught the eye of a woman sitting across from me, and we had that experience of just instant knowing in the heart. And we started laughing spontaneously. And we couldn't stop laughing. Do you remember this, Darshan?
And
then you joined in that laughter. And so there was a deep friendship and a deep connection that established itself in a very short time because we didn't have the barrier of the mind to obstruct the power of the heart to see what was inherently there. And so I'm actually still in touch with both you and this other woman, and that at that retreat was really the only interaction that we had directly.
Shema,
so,
what you may not know is at that, and at the laughter, and at the sharing, at this beautiful drink of you, and your picture resides high on my wall here, you know, from years ago, it's still here. But anyway, in that interaction, my 17-year-old son had been killed just shortly before I came out there.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
Such a beautiful cleansing and healing, you know, for what's deeper than so much.
Oh, and when you say that, Darshan, I feel this wave pass through my own heart, and that's just it. I had no idea. What have we been saying on this call? Our ability to attract the people that we want and need in our lives has to do with the value we are bringing out to them.
Yes.
I would have had no idea that just by kissing your feet, I was bringing you that value. I was only loving you.
Yeah.
And I'm just so moved. You're right. I had no idea.
But you were loving me, capital M me, the core of this love and adoration. What you call appreciation, I call adoration, and you probably see it in the poetry a lot, is, you know, that's the same, just the same.
That's right. Darshan is an exquisite poet who his poetry really is a source of deep heart appreciation for me. So, Darshan, I'd love it if you would share how people who are listening right now might be able to get on your poetry mailing list in case they'd like to receive your poetry.
If there's any interest, if you forget me, you can always go through Sheva and she can forward you. But if you're interested in receiving it, Darshan, D-A-R-S-H-A-N, at arkansas.net.
And that's Darshan with a D, like devilish.
Dervish, how's that?
That works.
Yes, and a bit of the devil.
Darshan, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Rich bringing, I really appreciate it.
You know, Sheva, I can't tell you this beautiful flow of heart that these calls have opened up. I just thrilled me. I missed the call last week, so I downloaded it and burned it. I tried to listen to it at work, but I sit there with a stupid, beautiful, blissful smile on my face and not getting anything done. So I had to burn it to a CD and bring it home tonight.
Good. Well, this call has been recorded. So if any of you would like to re-listen to it or share it with friends, please feel free to do that. And it's something that we always like to do at the end of these calls is I'm always talking about the incredible generosity of the heart and how in my own life the heart math tools have allowed me to take the focus of attention off of the narcissistic sense of lack in my life and what do I need and why don't I have it and where can I get it, to discover that I'm sitting on top of it and that it's all in me and I'm an incredible wealth and resource of it, and to be able to extend that outward and to share it. And so I'd love to take a moment for all of us just to focus on the area of the heart itself and to extend through your appreciation for whatever you've received tonight, even if it's just a deeper appreciation for the people that you have attracted into your life that have meant something to you, to radiate your gratitude outward to people who might need the inspiration that you have or that this is. We like to call these nights an oasis of positivity. You could let this oasis reach people who are in need of it, whether it's people that you know who might benefit from this information or places in the world that you see in need of removing resignation or despair. You just radiate the benefit of what you're feeling here outward. And there are some practical, tangible ways that that can express itself as well. You can always email people the link to these downloadable calls if you want to listen to it again or think someone might benefit from hearing it. You can go to www.fiera.com, and you can access previous calls there or refer people to those links. You can also invite people to join the calls every Monday night. Now, I have to say, next Monday, I will actually be on an airplane during this time. So we'll only have access to pre-recorded calls next Monday night, but I'll be rejoining you 2 weeks from tonight. And so you can invite people to the next call. And, of course, there are avenues to learn the heart math system if you know of people that you think would benefit from that. On March 18th, there's an all-day workshop in Los Angeles, and on March 20th begins level one of the Heart Mastery Program, the Beginner Heart Math Tools, and that's a four-week telephone class, and you can always email me if you want more information on that, again, to ask@sierra.com or Sheva. Simple, happy, exuberant, victorious apple at Fiera.com. Sheva at Fiera.com. And I'd be happy to help you or your friends move deeper into the heart. We have a new program called Heart Mastery, so that there's actually going to be a way for people who want to experience this oasis of positivity just about every day can find a call or two to participate in. Are there any other questions or any other sharings that want to surface before we close the call for tonight? Well, I thank you all so much for joining us, whether you're listening in real time or to a recording. And may this oasis of positivity and the power of the heart reach all human beings who can benefit. Thank you so much, and lots of love, and talk with you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Sheva.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darshan. Thank you. Night. Thank you.